many of us have made him the Lord of the leftovers? He gets our leftover time, our leftover talent, our leftover treasures. That if I got anything left, then I can give to God.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with pastor and author James Ford Jr., senior pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us as today we're beginning a series called God's Pleasure and Your Treasure. And pastor, I think the problem with waiting until we've got something left to give it to God is just being humans like we are, there's not going to be anything left for God. It seems like we're focused on what do I want? And then you realize, oh, sorry, God. Don't got anything left for you.
Well, I think it happens that way most of the time, Steve. You know, I'm really surprised when I read statistics that tell me that the average believer gives 2.4%, the average unbeliever 4.7% collectively. That's atrocious. You know, here's what happened to me. It was a kind of an aha moment. It was a rhema word moment. Oh, I just said word. But anyway, it was one of those moments when we had an appeal for Pacific Garden Mission. They needed some suits so that guys could get work.
Yeah.
And so I went in my closet, and the first thing I looked for were the suits I didn't want.
Right.
I had just brought two new suits, and it was the Holy Spirit who said, don't give those that you don't want. Give the two new ones. I said, it's nobody but the devil. And but the Lord convicted me, and I gave those two suits. Now, I didn't give to get anything, Steve.
Yeah.
But then one of my elders came to me and said, you know what God laid on my heart, Pastor Ford? I said, no, what? To take you out and to buy you a couple new suits. I said, you got to be kidding me. And I told him the story. He said, well, not only am I going to buy you the suits, I'm going to buy you the pocket square, the shirt, the ties, and the shoes.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was like, wow, Lord. So I'm more ready, you know, to do what the Lord says when he says, okay, write this out. Give to this organization. Yeah. Give to this person, you know, because I understand that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yeah. We leave the choice with him.
Well, right now, we're hoping that your choice is to join us in the Gospels. We're going to be in Luke 12 and Matthew 6 today as we begin God's Pleasure and Your Treasure. Here is Pastor Ford.
When Brother Mike Thompson was my assistant pastor, he was my assistant pastor for 5 years. Now he's got his own set of problems. He came to my office before we had built this new sanctuary, and he said, Pastor Ford, you need to come right away. Sister Parker has been put out of her house. And so I said, what? He said, yeah. So we went across the street. She lived right in the Horseshoe Apartments there. We went across the street, and sure enough, all of her belongings were on the sidewalk. She was sitting there. And I said, what happened? She said, well, couldn't pay my rent, got an eviction notice, and the sheriffs just came and set me outside. I said, well, why don't you come to us and, you know, ask your church for help? I mean, you live right across the street. And she said, well, I'm just the kind of person, I don't like to ask people for help. And, you know, I didn't say it, but I wanted to say, well, you have not because you ask not. Amen. But I said, well, I'll tell you what we can do. We had just purchased Alexander's restaurant on which our parking lot now sits. And so it was a big building. And I said, do you have anywhere to store your stuff? No. Have nowhere to store it. I said, okay, so me and Pastor Mike, we'll move your stuff over into Alexander's, and you could store it there. We weren't going to tear it down for a couple months, so that would give her a place to keep her furniture and belongings where it would be safe. And so we start carrying the stuff across the street, and on our second trip, a truck pulled up, and an elderly gentleman got out. I had seen him around before. He was a junk man, you know, going down the alleys, picking up metal and those kind of things, bottles. And so, you know, I thought that she had called him. Later on, I found out she thought I had called him. And so he helped us. It took us about 4 hours, maybe 4 hours and 15 minutes, to take all of her stuff and put it in there. And thank God we had his truck, because it would have took us longer than that. But after we got done, I said, okay, so she's going to pay you? He said, no. I said, well, you know, I'm not going to pay you. And he said, no, nobody's going to pay me. And so I said, do you know her? And he said, no, I don't know her. And I said, well, I don't know you. He said, well, I don't know you either. I said, so wait a minute, I don't get it. Why did you stop? He said, well, I was on my way to start my day. I'm retired, and I collect junk, and I make money now, my little extra money by, you know, getting my junk and taking it to the junkyard. But as I passed you by, I saw you. But the Lord spoke to me and said, those are some of my people. I want you to turn around and help them. I said, so you say the Lord told you to turn around? He said, that's what I said. And I said, oh, okay, okay, okay. I said, well, wow, that was really great, man. That was really good. He said, yeah. He said, I was just being obedient to what the Lord said. I said, so what are you going to do with the rest of your day? He said, well, I usually only do it for about 5 hours. So most of my day is shot, and I'm probably just going to go on back home. And I said, well, what do you make a day on the average? He said, I make about $200 a day. And then the thought struck me. I said, you collect junk, right? He said, yeah. Over in our basement, man, I have some appliances, some vacuum cleaners, all kind of stuff that we're not even going to repair. Do you want that? He said, sure. So I took him over there, and we put about two dryers and two washers. One of the dryers worked. All kind of appliances. There was a couple toasters and, you know. So I saw him a couple weeks later, and I said, so how'd you make out with the stuff I gave you? He said, well, I made about $800. I said, you made about what? He said, I made about $800. See, one man's junk is another man's money. I just didn't have eyes to see it, Brother Bernard. Man, I wish I could have saw that. But anyway, there's water over the dam now. And I said, 800? He said, yeah, four times what I usually make in a day. I said, yeah, I can count. Wow. I said, do you tithe? He said, yeah, to my own church. Now, here's what got me about that. The fact that he did not stop to get any money because he didn't know there was any money to be gotten. Did everybody hear me? So he stopped. Why? Because God told him to help us. So then what he did was put the plan and program of God and people over paper. And I ain't talking about this kind of paper. I'm talking about this kind of paper. This man teaches us a lesson, doesn't he? He sought the kingdom first. See, too many of us don't seek God's kingdom first. As a matter of fact, if truth be known, don't look around because we don't want anybody to come under conviction. There's a whole lot of people who don't seek God's kingdom at all. Yeah, see, usually we give God what's left and not what's right. Don't forget at offering time, we say it all the time, don't we? What's in your hand is a reflection of what's in your heart. That's right. Come on, help me preach this. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. When are you going to take God off your benevolent list? The Bible says we should lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. You can't take it with you. But that verse says you can send it ahead. You heard about that man who told his wife he was terminally ill. He said, when I die, take all my money, put it up in the attic, because on my way to heaven, I'm taking it with me. He died. She put it up there before the funeral, came back after the funeral, and the money was still there. She picked up the money and said, I knew I should have left it in the basement. You get that on the way home. So when you look at this text is tailored to teach this timeless truth, okay? This poignant pericope is positioned to proclaim this powerful principle. Your commitment to God determines your conveniences from God. That's what this teaches. I mean, too many of us are like my granddaughter, Nene, when she was a shorty. I had my son over and had my grandkids over, and I had bought them all a big bag of gummy bears, Elder Ben. And we were all watching TV. We'd all come together. We're watching TV. And Nene was sitting next to me. I said, Nene, give me some of those gummy bears, girl. She said, uh-uh. There's only enough for me. A big old bag of gummy bears. 1 pound bag for each of them. Because I'm generous like that. Now, wait a minute. Get this. I bought them for her. I gave them to her. And she's telling me, the one who gave her everything, I can't have anything. Any nay-nays in the house? So then about 15 minutes later, we enter the movie. I think it was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And we're into the movie, and she says, here, Papa, here's a handful. She gave me four. I'm getting ready to put them in my mouth, Sister Jackson, and my son smacks my hand. I said, what's wrong with you? You crazy? He said, Dad, she gave you the ones that fell on the floor. And before we laugh at her, how many of us in this room under the sound of my voice have made him the Lord of the leftovers? He gets our leftover time, our leftover talent, our leftover treasures. That if I got anything left, then I can give to God.
I think that's a mindset that many of us have and many of us may wrestle with and against, because if we're going to wait to give God what's left over, so often we end up giving him nothing. We're going to continue this message, God's Pleasure and Your Treasure, in just a moment. If you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can always come to our website and listen to each and every program online. Just come to treasuretruthradio.org. You can stream a program or download an MP3 for free. Again, our website is treasuretruthradio.org. Here is Pastor Ford.
Now, let me give you the context before I give you the content, because context is important. If you look at Luke, you'll find the context. Luke gives us the context. Matthew doesn't give as much of the context as Luke does. In Luke chapter 12, he tells us the parable of the rich young ruler. He said, look, will you tell my brother to give me my bank, to give me my stacks, give me my inheritance? And Jesus said, who made me the lawyer over somebody's will? That's not what I came to be about. The Son of Man that came to seek and to save that which was lost, not to settle our money disputes. I don't care what you see on TV, don't believe it. Tell you money cometh. You know money goeth. And so what happens here? This man, according to Phillips, made three mistakes. Number one, he mistook his bank book for his Bible. See, he measured success in terms of his bankroll rather than his Bible. And true success is found here, folks, not in your bank account. I expected somebody who knew it say amen. That's all right. Maybe they do believe. In other words, too many of us measure our self-worth by our net worth. And listen, what you have has nothing to do with who you are. His second mistake is he mistook his soul for his body. See, physically, we came into the world with closed hands, and when we leave this world, we're going to go with open hands. That's why Alexander the Great said, bury me with my hands outside the casket so that everyone will know that even though I conquered the known world, I left here with nothing. Old preacher would say it this way, you never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You can't take it with you. And for some of you, it's good that you can't, because your money would only burn and your jewelry would only melt. Well, you get that on the way home too. Yeah. His third mistake is he mistook time for eternity. In Luke says, but God. In other words, now, if you live your life for the acquirement of things, to get bling and Benjamins and Benzes and all of that kind of stuff, you have wasted your life. For what if it profit a man should he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's a whole lot of people that got a Benz and they going to hell in it. In other words, but God. In other words, you may forget about God. God's not going to forget about you. That's good news. Yeah, in other words, here's the whole thing. Now, let me do this. You don't mind Bible study, right? I'm going to walk you through this entire text because I want to give you what the major theme is. I'm going to deal with one verse, but the major theme is this. Don't worry. Don't worry about material things. That's the theme of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. Now walk with me. I hope you'll walk with me by opening your Bible and walk through as I share with you, because here's what he's telling us. He says, let me give you 10 reasons why you should not worry. 10 reasons why. Here we go. Reason number one, verses 19 through 21, because it violates the command of God. That what he tells us in essence is this. I'm commanding you not to be worried about stuff. Commit yourself to the Savior, we're going to learn later on, and the Savior will give you the stuff. Well, how come I don't have the stuff that I want? Because the Savior hasn't given it to you yet. And until he gives it to you, the Lord gives us prosperity without the pain. Second reason, verses 22 and 23, it divides our focus. He says, the light of the body is the eye, therefore the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, but if it be evil, then what is he talking about there? He's saying, listen, that if you want to focus in on the master and you want to focus in on making your money, you can't do them both at the same time. That if you worry, you know what the word worry means? It means to divide your attention, to have a two-face when it comes to what God has told you. Verses 24 through 25, look at it. Here's what he's saying there. The third reason you don't worry is life is more than just physical needs. Anybody buy any joy lately? Anybody buy any peace lately? Anybody buy any serenity? Those are things you cannot buy. And I guarantee you could have everything you want, but yet if you don't have those things that you have will not satisfy you. Some people talk about, well, if I became a millionaire, I'd be happy. If you're not happy with the dollar and a quarter that you got, you won't be happy if millions would be your lot. They asked one millionaire, how much money is enough? He said, always $1 more, just $1 more. That was Andrew Carnegie. Number four, fourth reason you should not worry is in verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? He's saying you are valuable in God's eyes, that God made us in the imago Dei, the image of God. He made us just like him, personality, intellect, emotion, will, free moral agency. And he said, you are like me. We were made a little lower than the angels, and God elevated us to his status. We are now sons and daughters of God. Fifth reason why, verse 27, he says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a statue? Here's the principle. It won't change your situation. Don't worry, because it won't change your situation. Worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. You got movement, but you ain't going anywhere. Then notice verses 28 through 30a. He says, don't worry because God will faithfully supply what you need. And we say it all the time, don't we? But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. Let me get you to say something. What does all mean? That's right. All means all. That's all means. Verse 30b, he says the seventh reason why you shouldn't worry. In verse 30b, it demonstrates you have a lack of faith in God. He says, oh, ye of little faith, you got a lack of faith in God. So then when I worry about things, it demonstrates I don't trust God for them. Here's number eight, verse 31 and 32a. It reveals a pagan mentality. He said, for these things the Gentiles seek. This is what worldly people want. This is what worldly people give their lives to. But then verse 34, he says, don't worry because it brings tomorrow's troubles into the day. And here's our verse that we're going to look at today, verse 33. He says, don't worry because it demonstrates a need for recommitment to Christ and his kingdom, to the lordship of Christ. So that's the context. Let me look at the verse content. Now, I love this passage. Why? Because sometimes we'll tell people what, but we don't tell them how, and we don't tell them why. But all of those are here in this passage. Here it is in a nutshell. When Christ is our pleasure, he gives us his treasure. That's it. Let me walk through it real quick. Notice, first of all, if this is going to happen, your perspective must change. That's the first thing. Where you see that, Pastor? In Luke, it says, but seek ye first. Here's the but. Now, you know what it is, conjunction. What's your function? Function of a conjunction. We talk about that all the time. But what does it do? It's saying change. You're over here with the materials. Focus on the master. You're over here with the gold. Focus in on God. You're over here and you're worried about all of these things. Worry about all of his things. Because if you take care of his business, he's going to take care of your business. Wait, tell your neighbor, that's something I ain't heard. I don't hear that. In other words, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're worried about the junk instead of serving Jesus. And what did that elderly gentleman do, that teenager who helped us? He sought the kingdom first. He put the master above money because he knew you can't serve money and the master. Can't serve master and mammon, and which is the Babylonian god of money. So let me ask you a question. Say, ask us a question. Do you own things or do your things own you? We're supposed to love people and use things. Most of us use people and love things.
If we're really honest about it, I think a lot of us would answer that question in a way that we may find a little bit troublesome. But the great thing is, as we dive into God's Word, we begin to learn how we can change that perspective. You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called God's Pleasure in Your Treasure, and you can find out more about this program when you come to our website, treasuretruthradio.org. You know, Pastor, I know that probably almost on a daily basis, we have people who are finding this radio program. They are beginning to listen. They appreciate the Bible teaching. They may not really understand how this program is produced and how we're able to get it on the air each and every day.
Right, because it is a listener-supported program. They may not know that. I received a letter from someone who was just trolling through their radio and hit Moody Radio, and my voice attracted them. And they said they listened. This has been a couple years ago, and they've been listening for a few years. Well, they had sent in a donation. They let me know. I sent in a donation to the program, something I've never done before. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing. Yeah. And even when I was working with Cher, had a couple people call in and say, I've never given before, but I'm being ministered to, and I'm so grateful now to be a part of the Moody ministry.
Well, if you're a new listener, maybe you've just been listening for a couple of years now, and it's just never dawned on you that this is a listener-supported ministry, that is how this program is able to stay on the air each and every day. Production costs, airtime, all the things that happen behind the scenes, it's all made possible because of your generosity. You can give a gift right now by coming to treasuretruthradio.org and clicking on the donate button. Well, thanks for listening. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.